Well, you sang that song, No Turning Back. Did you mean that? Well, you're all excited doing praise and worship. I could feel boy vibrating from the back to the front. Wasn't that good? I said, well, Lord, they're really into this morning. There's nothing like following Jesus. I mean, absolutely nothing. You know, I have a person in my family who's on drugs. And I'm watching that person struggle very much. He's a backslider. God's told me he's coming back real soon. I've watched him suffer a lot in the last month, I think it's been. It's all because somebody else came back into his life and pulled him right back into that mess he just got out of. You know, God tells us whenever we get free of something, we have to leave our friends. Because they'll pull you right back down into the same garbage hole you just came out of. And whenever you get free of something, you have to stay free. You have to fight to stay free. I'm sorry, guys. This is not an easy street that we're on. You have to fight. God will be there with you. He will help you. He will sustain you. But you have to fight. And I'm just, all right, so you might have a problem with drugs. You might have a problem with drinking. You might have a problem with perversion. You know, my problem is I have to stay, keep myself right so I can teach you the word. And Satan comes after me just like he does every one of you. If he can get me out of my love walk, or if he can get me, you know, to try to teach false, you know, if he wants me to teach false doctrine, I have to fight him. I have to fight him just like you do every single, there's never a day that doesn't go by that I don't fight him. You know, once you get to ministering the word, you find out you don't get much sleep either, because, you know, the enemy comes at you when you're sleeping also, and the Lord will wake you up until you start fighting. Now, the Bible tells us we don't have any enemies because our enemies belong to God. And that is the truth. But God's told us we have to do our part. And once we do our part, then he'll do his part. And, you know, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Once you give your heart to God, Satan's right there. He's there to fight you just tooth and nail. He'll fight you harder than he ever fought you when he had you. And, if you were a sinner, of course you were. If you gave your heart to God, you were a sinner, right? Then everybody around you is watching you now. And the enemy's going to make sure that you do something stupid to give God a black eye. I don't care if it's a word you speak or what. You know, he's going to be on you like you wouldn't believe. Because he does not want souls around you to get saved. Let's face it, if you were a sinner, you know a lot of other sinners, right? And so those sinners are laughing at you and mocking you and saying, huh, let's just see how long this lasts. How strong is your God? Do you know that your God is as strong as you allow him to be? He will be everything to you that you need. And, you know, what we have to understand is that the Bible says a righteous man will fall down seven times, but seven times he'll get back up again. What that's telling us is you are going to make mistakes in your walk with God. That's also telling you that you're going to get back up again. You're not going to stay down. You're going to get back up. And when he told Peter, when you return, Peter, strengthen your brethren. And otherwise, then whenever you get back up, then you go and you minister to your brothers and your sisters and you strengthen them. And I just want to encourage each one of us in here tonight, this morning, to keep going. Because God is getting ready to drop that glory drop he's been promising us. And when that glory drop hits, that devil won't ever be able to touch you ever again. Because when that glory drop hits, it's going to yank everything right out of you. It's going to say, you know, and I was just talking to Brother Chris Gore today, you know, because I was talking about the member of my household. And I said, you know, God said he's just going to just come by and just melt that devil right out of these people. And I can't wait till that day happens. It's God just comes by and whatever's in you, God just yanks that thing right out of you. And you'll never have to fight that thing ever again. But until that day comes, let's continue to fight. Let's not give up. And right now, the devil is fighting everybody that I know. You know, you think, okay, we got this situation under control. Then here you get another phone call. And there's another situation you have to handle, you know? And I said to Larry, I said to my husband, I said, how come it is, if I didn't say this to him, I was thinking it, how come it is all this stuff happens on a church day? You know, my phone will ring, all kind of junk is going on Wednesday night, and then Sunday morning here, I'm trying to get ready for church, here's the phone ringing, there's all kind of problems going on. You know, the devil knows when to harass you. He knows that if you're trying to work for God, and if he can get you messed up, you won't be able to do the works for God. So therefore, you have to keep yourself unmessed. You have to keep yourself encouraged in the Lord, and you just have to keep on going. You have to handle life and still serve God. You have to be able to carry the glory and still serve God. You know, you just can't say, well, the glory's hit me, and then stagger all over the place and not be able to be used as a vessel to minister to people. Come on. Let's get this thing right. We are vessels of honor that God wants to work through. And Satan's coming after the vessels of... He doesn't care about the vessels of dishonor. He could care less about them. He already has them. He's only... So if you're being fought by the enemy, it's because you are a true vessel of honor that God is going to work through. And the devil's trying to kill you before you get to do the works that God wants you to do, because the works that God wants you to do is tear down the kingdom of darkness. Amen. I wish that every one of you sitting here this morning could hear the voice of God so clearly, and that you were a holy vessel that God could talk through instantly in any given second. The Bible says be instant in season and out of season. So what I'm saying there is, it doesn't matter what you're doing, God's able to talk through you. If somebody has a problem, he'll immediately start speaking through you. This is the type of vessels that we are supposed to be. Amen. We are supposed to be strong towers that others can run into. We are supposed to be strong for the weak. And when a brother or sister is down, we are supposed to send out the alert. That means get on your knees and start praying. You send out a prayer request. You know, a brother or sister's down, the enemy's after them, start praying. Is to keep interceding. Or do you see that brother or sister back up on their feet again? We're a hospital. Supposed to be. We're supposed to heal the sick, not make them sicker. So if you see your brother or sister fall, you don't judge. I just knew they wouldn't make it. You don't do that. Because they're trying to make it. The enemy is after them. You needed to defeat the enemy for them, because at that point they are too weak to fight for themselves. Are you listening here? That's a freebie from God. All right. So I'm going to teach this morning on dare to take your place. Titus 3, 4, 6, and 7 says, but after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs. The kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. God has appeared to us. He has shed his love abroad on us. Are you understanding this? He just doesn't leave us. Like he said to me last night, he said, daughter, there's never one instance that I have ever left you nor forsaken you. You might feel he has, because sometimes when you're in that valley and you're crying out for God and he's not answering, or he says there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and you go through that tunnel for a couple months, you say, God, where is the light? Where is the light? And he said, it's there, just keep on going. I'm saying that because I've done that many times. And there surely was a light. But when you were in that dark, dark tunnel, you couldn't see that light. You couldn't even believe for a light. But believe me, the light is there. In fact, I'm just hearing the light was walking with you all through that dark tunnel. And the reason why you could see it at the end is because he brought you out of the darkness into the light. Because he is light. Do you know how wonderful he is? He's the most wonderful thing you ever have going in your life. He's better than the biggest high you could get. He's better than a pack of cigarettes. He's better than any gorgeous girl or man walking down the street. God is our all in all. I don't know about you, but I'm in love with my Father. You know, I said to Brother Alan, well, we was doing praise and worship, and I said, I know I'm a little prejudiced, but I just think he's so adorable. I was watching my grandson. You know, I just, you can brag on your kids someplace else. I'm going to brag on my grandson here. He's so adorable, and I love him so much. He's as ornery as he is adorable, though, too. But you know what? I still love him. And that's what God thinks about us. You're so ornery, but I still love you. You're adorable in my eyes. You know, I know he's like us. You know, we sit here and we watch our kids, you know, and the different things they do, and we laugh, we cry, you know. And we just sit there in total awe. That's how God does with us, you know. He loves us. I wish you'd get that in your spirit tonight. This is morning, isn't it? He loves us. You haven't done anything so horrible that would cause him not to love you. Do you know why I say that? Because he's not human. He's not flesh and blood, he's spirit. Flesh and blood will leave you when you do something what you call bad or ugly. But God never leaves us nor forsakes us. Never. I just feel his love so strong right now. It's just like he's making love to us this morning. He's saying, come on, it's all right. Come back into my arms. It's okay. I'm fixing everything. And it's going to last forever. Amen. I'm hearing him say he wants you to rejoice right now. Some of you are going through a tribulation, he's telling me. He wants you to rejoice right now in your tribulation. Some of you have backslid a little bit and you feel ashamed about that. God said, don't feel ashamed about it. Just stand up and repent and go on. You know, don't let the enemy do that to you. I really get sick and tired of Christians. Every time a little wind comes by, it knocks them off their feet. Now, that's not a strong tower. Well, if you say that again, you're going to cause me to go back into what I just got delivered from. Get out of here. Where is your backbone? God says he gives us a backbone of steel and a forehead of flint. Now, if that little wind can knock you off your feet, you don't have a backbone of steel and a forehead of flint. You're like a little rubber piece of sand just melting to the ground. You need to stand up. You know, if I would have that attitude, I wouldn't be standing here today. You're going to have to get a forehead of flint. If you're going to stand up to the enemy, you're going to have to get a forehead of flint. And you're going to have to be able to stand and look him square in the eye. And know that your Father has spoken. Are you understanding this? Do you understand what we're going into? We're going into one of the biggest battles that the church has ever gone through in the church history. God is trying to get us built up. He's trying to get us strong. So that we won't bend and bow at the winds that's going to come. We're going to have to be strong towers that others can run into. So what if you failed? You went through a test. Get back up. You know how many tests I failed? Get back up again and brush yourself off and say, Father God, I'm so sorry I gave you a black eye. And keep on going. Just don't sit down there. God, you know, that's not an, I wouldn't want you in my army. I used to always say, you know, I wouldn't want you in the same, if we were in a war, I wouldn't want you with me because you wouldn't be covering my back. You'd run up and leave me. Do you really understand how strong the enemy really is? He's strong. But we're stronger. But see, the body of Christ doesn't realize, but we're stronger. The enemy is strong. He has power and he has authority in his kingdom. And he comes after God's children. And the only way he can touch you is if you allow him to touch you. You don't have to give in to your emotions. Your emotions stink. You do not have to give in to your feelings. You need to stand firm on God's word. You need, you know, like I was talking to somebody this morning, that something drastic happened to him. And I said, wait, let's just stop. We were on the phone. I said, let's stop. We need to hear God's voice right now. Because they're saying this and somebody says this and somebody else. I said, we just need to hear God's voice. And instantly God started talking to that person and telling him what they were supposed to do. But before I did that, it was a bunch of confusion talking. We all need to understand we need to get God's face into everything that pertains to our life. Are you understanding this? Come on. People are ugly. God uses ugly people to take you to where you need to go. I think Joel Osteen said something like that this morning, but people are ugly. And unless you are hearing God's voice, and unless you are standing tall and firm, ugly is going to get to you. It is. It's going to get to you, and it's going to tear you apart. But if you're standing firm in God's word, you know who you are in Christ Jesus. How many of you had to remind yourself just about every day who you are in Christ Jesus? If you know who you are in Christ Jesus, the enemy's not going to be able to take you off course. He's not even going to make you wobble. And I thank God he's brought me to the place I don't even wobble anymore. Come on. And if I can stand and not wobble, you can do it too. You know what God has said, and you're going to stay the course. And I was thinking this morning, I said, God, I wished everybody was a true prophet. I mean, there are prophets, but then there are true prophets. You know, everybody that prophesies can, you know, prophesies. But then there's a prophet, such a thing as a office of a prophet. And I said, God, I wished everybody had the office of a prophet. Then the body of Christ would be in a better position than it is right now. Because they would hear your voice very accurately. And they would know that you speak through them. And they wouldn't be struggling with everything that comes along. Amen? Come on, guys. We've got to get this together because God just told me he's going to bring this glory real soon. And he said it's going to hit so suddenly. And we're not going to have time to do anything. How long has he been trying to get this church balanced out for the glory to drop? He's getting tired of waiting. You aren't balancing out. He'll wipe you out. That's the way it's going to be. He'll wipe you out. Because he said to me, I've given you a promise. And no man or woman is going to stop that promise from coming to pass. Has God given you a promise? Then no man or woman can stop that promise. Only you can stop that promise. I'm not looking for man or woman to build the church. Or you understand this? I'm looking to God who called the church to be. And if he called me, then he can continue to build it. All right? You know, he said there would be relationships that were totally shattered. He was going to bring them back together. Now, and he's done that to some. I know a few people he's done that to. Now, do you think the enemy's going to allow that to happen without causing some problems? Get out of here, then. You need to go get dipped again. Because if you had a bad relationship, and then God put you back together, he's mad. The devil is. And he's going to come after you with everything he has now. He knows what you were in the past, and he's going to push that button and push that button and push that button. Why don't you disconnect that button? Come on. Why do you keep allowing him to come back into your life and cause you to do the same things that cause you to get messed up? Why do you do that? I've told you before, disconnect the button. Say, not at home. This button isn't working today, and it won't work ever again. I'm not going to bow my knee every time you come by. I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. And I stand firm and I stand strong in God's word. You know, if you really get into God's word, you'd be surprised what's in there. There's a whole lot of things in there that I know that you don't even understand. And because we don't understand the word, we fall. And we don't understand the word because we don't get into the word. Get into a lot of TV. Get into a lot of pornography. Get into a lot of gossip. Cell phones are a disgrace to the world. I have never seen the like. You can't even, every time I go shopping, people are standing there talking. I got to turn around and see who talking to a stupid phone. Their business all, you know, for the whole world to hear. Why would you, you know, you call me and my phone's in the car. And when I get through shopping, I cannot take care of a child and my husband and a cell phone and shop at the same time. There's no way I can do that. So I leave the cell phone in the car and I deal with my husband and my child in the store and we do our shopping. You know? Come on. You know, I'm older than you all are and I know we didn't even have a telephone. You know, and I said to Larry the other day, I said, I wonder how we made out. Because when you left the house, you didn't know what was going on until you got back to the house, right? Now, you would die if you left your cell phone at home. You really would. We left the house the other day, and Larry said, I forgot the cell phone. I said, it'll be there when we get back. The reason why I carry it is if, in case you break down. Otherwise, I could care less about that thing. People get up with you that you don't even want to get up with you, right? I don't know why I'm on that. But anyhow, we need to be about the Father's business. And we need to be strong towers. This is what this is all about. This is what God's doing right now. We need to be strong towers. And you know, if you're living in sin, forget it. You're not a strong tower. You're already weak. You can't live in sin and serve God. There's just no way you can do that. Just no way. And I was reading an article where people would rather live together than get married. Well, you know, that's fine. That's what you want to do. But God's word said you shouldn't do that. And then you're saying, God, bless me, bless me, bless me. It's not going to work, guys. And whatever the devil blesses you with, he's going to take from you eventually. He'll strip you bare. Come on. And if you think you're missing something by serving God, you're not. Don't you ever watch, you know, if you're a true Christian, don't you ever watch people that aren't serving God and they think they're living, don't they? They think they have everything. Do you ever watch them? They have absolutely nothing. They have more worries and cares than I don't know what. Yes, we have our concerns too. But we have a Father who takes care of our problems. Amen. You know, with my one person that I'm dealing with at home, they were away from home for a couple of weeks, and I said, you know, I preach up, we need to call the angels, right? I said, all right, angelic host, stand to attention. This is why I did this. I want the two biggest angels that's in that group to step forward right now. And I'm sending you right now to my grandson, and I don't want you to leave his side until he gets home. And all during the day, I said, you better be on the post. And you better be taking care of him, because God said, that's what your job is. He better not come home with not one scratch on him. Because people were being, where he was at, people were being shot every day and killed. And he would call and tell me, well, another one got shot. Well, another one got shot. And I'm thinking, you're still there. But he's home. He didn't get shot. But I told the angels, don't leave your post. Stay right with him. I'm not going to be concerned what's happening in his life. I have to be about the Father's business. And I saw them two big angels, and they were right there with him. And I said, and the angels that's assigned to him, you stay there too. The three of you keep him covered. I just know God did it. I wasn't concerned about anything. I just know God did it. And I said, I don't want him overdose. I don't want nothing bad to happen to him. I don't want him to get any bad drugs. I want you to make sure that he's taken care of. Now, I know that worked. Are you using your angels? See, I can do that because I serve God 100%. Because when I first started this, God said, I don't want 99.9% of you. I want the other 1% you're holding back. I want 100% of you, or I don't want any of you. So I'm serving God 100%, so I know that what I say has to happen. Now, do you have that conviction in you? Are you serving God 100% that you know that whenever you speak, so you decree something forth, it has to happen? Has to happen. Not maybe. It has to happen. See, if you have, yes, it will. If you have a gray area, it won't happen. You have to be pure light. Pure light. Are you listening here? Some of you in here, you're walking in a gray area you need to get out of. I know that's why God's talking about this. You need to get out of that gray area and walk into pure light of God. You need to surrender everything you have to the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Because this glory is coming real quick like. And if you're not right with God, you're going to miss it. And you're not going to be able to get it again either. Because God told us years ago, when that river comes, those who are standing on the shore watching are going to want to jump in, and they're not going to be able to jump in. In other words, what he was saying is, when the glory comes, if you aren't following God with all of your heart, you forget about it. I didn't say you're going to go to hell, but God's not going to be able to use you either. Now, Does he have a calling on your life or doesn't he? Then you're a target for the enemy to shoot at. Now, if you have a calling on your life and the enemy's shooting at you and you're being hit, then your calling is not going to start working until you aren't hit no more. And I mean by being hit where you actually get hit and fall down. You give in to that thing that the enemy's thrown at you. And God said you can't be you can't be two-faced anymore either. You have to be single-minded. You have to have your mind stayed upon Christ. You no longer have the option to even think a little bit out of the line of God's, the way God thinks. God's saying the straight and narrow path is before you. There was a time when I first started ministry, God spoke to a lady and he said, you know, my path is wide. And I'm thinking, no, that's not what your word says. So as she was a prophet too, she was my praise and worship leader. And afterwards I said, I feel very uncomfortable about what God said. She said, so do I. So we prayed and God said, if you're serving me with all your heart, the path is wide. But if you're not serving me with all your heart, then the path is narrow. He said, because the path gets wide as you go and you can enjoy all things, you know, in Christ. Then I felt better. But God's never used me to say that ever again, but thank God he hasn't. Because a lot of people, just like y'all, you really now, you know? So what I'm saying here, guys, okay, so what if the path is so narrow right now, like God just said? As you lose yourself totally and completely in Christ, it's going to get wider and wider and wider. Next thing you know, I'm here. I see heaven right now. And what God is saying, you're going to be walking in heavenly places all the time. So, but you have to go through these tests and these trials. In this narrow path that eventually leads into, I see a big green field, you know, and big and gold streets and flowers and everything. And then you walk in that, and it's perfect peace and perfect joy. And it doesn't happen overnight either. I've been walking this path for a long time. But it does happen. And you know what? If you really follow God, you won't care how narrow that path is. Because you don't want to take your feet off of that path because you just keep your eyes fastened on God and you want to go where he's at. Right? Some people say, well, I don't want to be a Christian because there's too many no's. Oh, but there's so many yeses. So many yeses. If you're truly following him. Let's not get sidetracked with the no's. Let's not get sidetracked with pastors who preach that kind of junk. Because God just says yes, 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 yes. That's all God says is yes. Because you're his child. And he wants to bless you. But the problem is this little thing up here doesn't know how to straighten up. It has all these dead mindsets that need to be destroyed. And as long as you have these dead mindsets, you're not going to get to where God wants you to go. You're going to have to shake your head and go stick it in the water or something and wash that junk out of your brain. I go around and say, Jesus, Satan, this is the mind of Jesus Christ. And I did that the other day. I was picking something off the floor and the baby, little Isaiah, came around the bed looking at me because he heard me say that. You know, he just stood there. I said, I'm just praying, baby. He just grinned and went on. Because the devil was trying to put a bad thought in my mind about my grandson. And I said, I don't receive this in any way, shape, or form. See, he will try, guys. But don't receive what he's trying to get you to hear and to believe. You need to start believing what God has said about everything in your life. Some of you in here this morning, you're living in a life of total doubt. Something has happened in your life and you just doubt if it'll ever get right again. Well, God said you have a mindset of the enemy and you need to get out of it. You're walking in the enemy's territory and you're not going to win. You're going to have to smack yourself up alongside the head like I do. Straighten up. This is not the mind of Christ. Christ wouldn't think like that. And do that until your mind straightens up. Do that until you know in your spirit that your mind has finally let go of that dumb thought. and that you're a true child of God. I'm hearing God say, did you enroll in the Academy of the Kingdom of Heaven, or did you enroll in the Academy of Satan itself when you gave your heart to Jesus? Do you know that a lot of people never did really give their heart to Jesus? They sit in the house of God, service after service after service, and they never have changed fathers. Somebody invited them to church, they came to church, oh, this is nice, happy, happy, and they never really ever gave their heart to the Lord. But yet they think they're all right, and they're not. They're not. They're walking in a lot of deception. I was glad. See, y'all should have been brought up when I was, you know. Because, you know, then whenever you got saved, you got radically saved. And with my conversion, I was sitting in the house of God, minding my own business. A young girl didn't know snot from nothing, you know. And all of a sudden, I just started to cry like a fool. The preacher was preaching, and I started to cry. And I don't even know what, I couldn't tell you ever what a preacher was preaching, but I just went. And I wasn't a sinner either, but I just didn't understand the Bible. And all of a sudden, I'm up at the altar just crying my head off. And the pastor looking at me like I just going... Now, this is the pastor looking at me like I just going crazy. He did his sermon, dismissed everybody, and I'm still at the altar crying. Finally, he said, young lady, you're going to have to go home. Just leave the church and go home. I cried for the next 3 days. That was the conversion. Didn't know what it was. Evidently, and this was a Pentecostal church. Evidently, the pastor didn't know what was going on either. Or he wouldn't have done that. Now, see, I had a true conversion. And my life was great from that time. Well, my life was always great. I've just had a good life. The ups and downs are just there. We all have ups and downs. And see, if everybody in this room would have had a conversion like that, we wouldn't have the problem in the body of Christ that we have. You know, people with your kids, you know, they didn't do drugs, I don't think, but they sure smoked and drank a lot. They was always trying to get me to go to, you know, drinking parties and, you know, and crowds around. I just never would go. I said, no, thank you. I don't care to go. I know that's because I had a true conversion. And God didn't, you know, all that junk was taken out of me as a very young girl. But why are you not? And then see, I'm still hungry and thirsty for even more deeper things than what I already have from God. Why are you not hungry and thirsty after the deeper things of God? If you're really hungering and thirsting after the deeper things of God, you'll have an experiences. You'll have it, not a, but you will have experiences with God that will change your life totally and completely. You know, one day I was going through a terrible time. I say I had a wonderful life. I did, but I was always going through a terrible time, all right? And I was very hurt, very disappointed. My husband was running on me. And I was standing and I was crying out on the porch. And God come and he said, daughter, I'm bringing the alabaster box to you. He said, and I'm going to wash your feet tonight. You know, that didn't mean tiddly to me. It really didn't at that given moment because I really didn't understand the story about the alabaster box. But when I found out what God did with the alabaster box, I cried. And I cried and I cried. I'm just a little country girl. Don't know nothing about God really yet at that point. Preaching the word. But he brought the alabaster box to me. To me. Do you know how much he loved me to do that? Do you know he'll do the very same thing to you? Do you understand that? And, you know, one other time, some things were going on in my life, adultery again, and I'm standing out on the porch, and all of a sudden, I felt wet. The patio was wet. Nothing else was wet. I said, God, what is this? He said, I'm the dew of Hermon. I didn't understand the dew of Hermon either right then, but I went and looked it up. I learned by then to look things up. I said, God, am I that special to you that you do these kind of things to me? He said, yes. You're the apple of my eye. And you know, he wants to do the very same thing to everybody in here this morning. I've had out of a body of experiences. I sat the other day and thought about all the different things I've had. And I said, God, I am the most fortunate woman in the earth. I really know I'm not. But, you know, for me, I am. And I said, you have done so many wonderful things for me. I should never, ever complain of any one day in my life. Right? I want each one of you to stop and think now about your own lives, you know, from this day on. I want you to stop and think about what the things that God has done for you. 3 times he saved me from dying. You know, I should really be literally dead. But he saved me. One time I was going to work and went across the road. I looked both ways, but then I didn't look the other way again, and I pulled out and there was a van. I saw, dear Lord, he's going to hit me. I'll be dead. Do you know the next thing I knew, I was sitting on the other side of the road. And about a week later, I read where somebody had the very same experience. I forgot what they call that, but God caused that van to just go right through my car and never touch me. Come on. You have to stop and think what God has truly done for you. Quit complaining that he isn't doing more. Thank him for what he's done. I spent 45 years with a man who committed adultery. He did love me, but we never had a marriage because he told me when my third daughter was born, she was 2 months old or a month old, he said, I'll never touch you again. I don't love you. Our marriage is finished. We lived together 45 years. So, you know, and I was happy. I was a happy person. I didn't run with other men. I just raised my children. I went to work, went to college. God had me start a church and all that going on in my life. I watch women now, they just carry on like a fool if their husband even turns her head sideways. I'm here to tell you, you can be happy no matter what's going on in your life. Come on. But like I told you Wednesday night, don't do what I do. Because God leads and guides each one of our footsteps differently. We're different people. All right? You're going to have to become strong. Really super strong. If you're going to do the work of the Father, really super strong. All right, so you started down that road, that journey with God, so happy you could hardly stand yourself. You were doing everything God told you to do, and all of a sudden, bang, the rug's pulled out from underneath you. And then you act like life itself has ended. You're so devastated, you don't know what to do with yourself. So you sit, and you get sadder and sadder and sadder. When my mother died, I don't know how many years ago, 6 or something like years ago, that was a rug that was pulled out from underneath me. And finally, after a year, God said, daughter, are you going to die with your mother? Or are you going to move on with me? I was in a terrible state of depression for that year. Still preach, but was in a terrible state of depression. But see, God loved me enough to come to me and say, are you going to die with your mother? And I knew my mom would not want me to do that. Because I saw her sitting where she always sat there against that wall. She was smiling. She said, you can go on, you can make it. God wants to do the same thing with everybody sitting in here this morning. He wants to encourage you, and he'll encourage you in many different ways. He does not ever want you to give up. You need to understand there's hope when you think there is no hope. And when you know, what's the big deal if your husband's running on you? You didn't love you anyhow. So you didn't lose anything, did you? If you decide to stay there, so then be happy there. If you decide to leave, then be happy when you leave. Or wife, whatever. Why do we do to ourselves what we do? We put ourselves through hell over and over again, and we don't have to. We really don't. God said he wants each one of you to be encouraged this morning to know that he is with you. Doesn't matter what hole you're in, he's with you. And all he's waiting for you is to say help. And he'll put his hand down there in that hole. And he'll pull you up out of that hole. He will not let you in that hole. I promise you, he won't. But see, you have to be the one to say help. You have to be the one to say, Father, I need you to grab my hand right now. Because if you don't, I'm going to drown. I say that lots, because the enemy comes after me too. I need you right now, Father, more than I ever needed you in my life. And you know, we say that over and over again, don't we? Because each experience seems worse than the last experience, right? And he reaches down through the portals of heaven and he pulls us, takes us by the hand. He sets us back on our feet and says, go on now. You're like I do little Isaiah. Go on now, be good. You know, pat him on the hind and off he goes. Dan does a little dance. That's what God's doing with each one of us. He's patting us on the hind and saying, come on, you can make this thing. It's not as devastating as it looks. This is just what he said to me the other day. This is just a bump in the road. I said, it's a mountain to me, Lord. He said, no, it's just a little bump. He said, you can get over this bump. Just keep walking. And you know what? I kept walking. Sure enough, it's just a bump. He said, you're looking at things through natural eyes. You don't see the whole picture. You just see it the way you're perceiving it. He said, believe me, it's not near as bad as you think it is. So how many of you in here this morning, you're looking at your little bump and you're thinking it's a mountain. But if you're really hearing God's voice, he's saying it's not as bad as you think it is. The glory of God is in here. He really wants to minister peace to you people this morning. I'm hearing him say he wants to render you helpless. So you cry out to him. So, are you still trying to be Mr. Me or Miss Me? God's trying to render you helpless. He's trying to strip all that me away from you. So you have to cry out to him. Amen. Do you know how many people are depending on you to keep going? You know, excuse me, Wednesday night somebody stopped me as I was leaving. They said, this lady that was with her said, she's been trying to get me to come to this church for a long time and I've been dragging my feet. But she said, I was so blessed tonight. Believe me, I'm going to come back. Then the girl that brought her said, I remember the first time I ever met you. Excuse me. She says, when you was having all those revivals and it was a 10 o'clock service. She said, I sat right there, right where Sister Shirley sat. Said, you walked by me. And she said, you pulled me by the hand and pulled me up and wrapped your arms around about me. Said, God, every bit of anointing that's in me, pour into her. And she said, ever since that day, my life has been changed. You know, we don't know what we do to people. I didn't know that occurred, you know. I mean, I knew what I said. And I say that if God has me say that, I'll say to God, people, God, give every bit of anointing that's on me right now, pour that into this person because they need it. Because I know I'm going to get more. You know, God's not going to ever let me empty out. You know, free do I receive it from God, so free do I give it away, right? See, I'm not afraid that I'm going to run out. I know I have oil in my lamp. And I know it's going to keep burning. Now, what is your problem? You don't know you have oil in your lamp? You know, I'm talking about the virgins. The 10 virgins, 5 did and 5 didn't. Do you not have oil in your lamp and you're afraid that you're going to run out? In other words, are you not sold out to God yet? See, if you're sold out to God, you're never going to worry about your oil. Because it's always going to be replenished. You're always going to have more than enough. The overflow is going to touch a multitude of people. But today, God wants you to know that you have oil in reserve. And it's his oil that he will keep replenishing back to you. Doesn't matter what you're going through. He's saying, keep on going because the oil will be plentiful. If I've called you into hard walk, I'll give you enough oil to go through that hard walk. If I pulled you into a hard place, I have enough oil for that hard place. Whatever I've called you to do, the oil will be there and it will supply. He said, you'll never dry up as long as you're following me. Some of you in here this morning, you really need to get serious with God, more serious than you ever have in your lifetime. And you're going to have to understand you're in a battle. And the battle is for your soul. Satan wants your soul. Jesus wants your soul. God's telling me to tell you there'll be one conflict after another until you are totally and completely sold out to God. And then once you're totally and completely sold out to God, the conflicts will end in your life, but you'll have to help others come through their conflicts. Y'all know that everybody else's life touches yours, right? The same as your life touches others, other people's lives touch yours. And you didn't cause the problem, but the problem is there. And so you, as a man of God, you're supposed to help take care of that problem. Minister to the people. Pray with them. Help set them free. You're never going to walk through this earth totally and completely free of anything. There's always a problem that you're going to have to solve for somebody else. How do you solve that? By, like we did this morning, take it to the Lord. Don't ever give anybody your advice, because your advice stinks. If you have such good advice, you won't be going through the problems you're going through, right? You'd be able to help your own self. Always, whatever you give anybody, make sure it's coming straight from the Father and no place else. You know, I'll say to people, you know, this or this is going on in your life. And they say, I don't know that. But God just told me that. So what's the big deal? If God tells, you know, me that there's something wrong in your life, then I hope you trust me enough to know that I only say what the Father says. And then take care of it. And I'm hearing God say, I'll walk you through the deep waters that are trying to drown you. And he's not talking about his waters. He's talking about the deep waters of hell that's trying to drown you. I'll walk you through them. But you have to hold on tight to my hand to get to the other side. All right? Hold tight. And when a brother or sister's down, don't stomp on them. Call a prayer meeting and pray for them. You know, many things could be avoided. I'm just hearing this from God. Many things could be avoided if we learn to pray. In other words, many souls could be saved. Many souls could be pulled out of the very throes of hell if we would learn to pray. Because the Bible says you're going to go down into hell and pull some souls out. And we do that through prayer. We pray until and intercede until we feel that darkness and that power over them break. And then when they're ugly, we don't hate them. Can I use you, Brother Allen, as an example right now? You know, Brother Allen, you know, leads the deliverance team, but the enemy fought him. And I told him. And he couldn't believe it, but he found out it was the truth. And God said to me, he's on his way out if he's not careful. So what I do, I called the prayer warriors. I said, this is what God has told me about Brother Allen. We need to pray. And Brother Allen's come through it. But he wouldn't have come through it if I didn't hear God's voice. And if I wouldn't have spoke to him and others that love him. And you know, and I said, you need to sit down. Just set aside until this is all over with. And he says, I felt him this morning. He's finally got his breakthrough. I felt it when he was singing. But see, if we wouldn't have loved one another, if we wouldn't understand that the enemy's trying to kill those that God's trying to use and the ones that are going to tear down the enemy's camp, Brother Allen wouldn't be sitting here this morning. Now, have you fallen off the horse? Is there anybody with you that will love you till you get back up on the horse again? I hope so. If you've come to this church, and if I've ordained you, or you're a member of this, if you just come to this church, just put it that way. God tells us you're in trouble. Believe me, you are covered by prayer. And we're not going to sit and discuss how terrible you are. We're going to pray until we see you break through this thing, until we see you becoming everything that God would have you to become. That's what a hospital does. It heals. It totally heals. It totally sets free the captive. Brother Brett and Sister Nancy can tell you I can get very angry when you question my walk with God. I know the Father's voice. the father told me years ago, I said, God, how do I know if it's you or the devil? And he said, my sheep only know my voice. He said, you're one of my sheep. And I know when I hear God's voice, and I know what God says. And don't contradict me unless you're hearing from the Father. And if you're hearing something different from the Father, I'll sure hear it too. Are you listening? I'm not in this for what I get out of it because I don't get anything. I'm in this to save souls. Constantly God tells me this is all about souls. He said, but the body of Christ has turned into a three-ring circus and they just want publicity. But it's really all about souls. It doesn't matter if you believe me or not when I speak to you. I know who I am. I know what God has called me to be. And I'm going to do it. And no, believe me, how many years we've been, we had the church 30-some years. I've had 30-some years of the devil attacking me. I've had him come face to face with me and tell me what he's going to do with me more than once. I'm not afraid of him. I am afraid of my Father. I have a godly fear. And I won't do anything out of my flesh. I used to sing. I went to a church, I used to sing. And I was singing one night and I got angry while I was singing. And I told the guitarist, I said, please stop playing. And I stepped down on the platform. The pastor, where are you going? I says, if I can't sing to the glory of God, I'm not going to sing at all. Because, see, I got angry. Something was going on in the church. And as I was up there leading praise and worship, I got angry with what I saw going on in the congregation. And it came out in my singing. So I just quit. If I can't bring God glory, then I'm not going to do it. I haven't sung since. But see, I wish everybody in the body of Christ is like that. If you can't bring God glory, then you need to sit down or do something until that thing's right. Because if not, pride's going to settle in. And you won't be any good for nobody. All right? Well, are you all right this morning now? Did you understand what God said to you? You're back up on your horse. Not going to fall again. You love him with everything you have in him. Don't worry about what anybody else is saying. It's not their walk. God called you to start a house ministry, right? Did you think the enemy was going to let you go through this without a fight? No, he didn't. He fought you both, didn't he? Thank you for doing that. Are you two ready now to go through and do what God's told you to do? Why don't you come up here? Would you give them a testimony of what I'm talking about, please? Would you give them a testimony of what I'm talking about? Wait till they give you a microphone. I want you to see how the enemy will fight you. I want you to see what the enemy will do to you. You ladies, you need to understand that you need to quit being Jezebels and trying to make Ahabs. You need to be women of God and do what God's telling you to do. Go ahead. You can stand beside him and he's going to put his arm around you, all right?
I've known Kelly for 20-something odd years and we've probably been through
more hell.
Well, a lot of hell, yep. I've made some choices that weren't the best, that really have drug us down over the years. We actually thought our marriage was over at one point, and God actually restored the marriage. And even after that, because, you know, as she's preaching this morning, if you're not 100% with God and that door is open just that little bit, I invited Satan back in. But I know in my heart that God is good and God is stronger. And when you are ready to lean on God, God will take you where you want to go. And I know that. See, and I trust in that. And even though I've fallen, I don't stay because I know what that brings. And I know what God has promised. So I stand up when I don't want to stand up. Because God says, stand up and push forward. And that's what I do. That's what I'll do until the day that He takes me. I will keep pushing on. I will fight for my marriage. I love my family. And it's all about 100% for God. It's all or nothing. And that's what I heard this morning. It's nothing to be played with. It's not a joke. Hell is real. And hell on earth doesn't compare. But I just know that with God and trusting God that we'll get past this. It's not a mountain, it's a bump. And that's where I stand today. I just keep pushing on.
Can you tell them what the problem is whatever?
Drugs, drug addiction. For 15 years of my life, I used heroin. I got clean in 2004. I got out of prison in 2007. I was clean up until 2012, I guess it was. And, you know, you're thinking you have everything under control and that you can do it on your own. And walk the way you want to walk, and then eventually, you know, the devil comes right in. And see, what takes years to build up can be just robbed from you in a day. And I'm just tired. Tired of living this way.
You know, he's talking about it's heroin, and that's what my grandson's on, is heroin, and the girl he was with got him there. But then he has a mind of his own, too, but he loved her so much that he went there with her. God's promised me that he'll be off of that, and he'll be the man of God that God's always said he would be. And we're going to stand with you, brother. And I'm going to tell what God told me, and I'm going to tell you, wife. He told me that he's going to get ugly. And you're going to want to turn your back on him. Don't you ever dare. God told me, don't you ever dare turn your back on him. You love him at all costs. Doesn't matter how ugly he gets. Doesn't matter what he say. That boy stood, him and I were so close. He cussed me to my face, called me all kind of names. And, you know, that just tore my heart out. But God warned me that was going to happen. He said he needs you. He needs your love. He needs your prayers. He said, don't forsake him. And then the other day he did something, and I was, you know how you say things over your mind, and I was doing it, and God said, don't you dare throw him out to the dogs. So I'm going to say to you, don't you throw him out to the dogs. God is going to totally and completely clean this young man up, and you're not ever going to want drugs again. He's called you, you're a minister of the gospel, he's called you to preach the gospel, and this is going to be your testimony. This setback, this bump in the road is a testimony. And you'll be able to help many, many people come get over their bump. And I want you guys who have been there and come back, I want you to come up and lay hands on this young man.
I just want to say one more thing.
Give her the microphone, will you?
There was people that were telling me, call the cops on Rob. Call the cops. What's that going to do? Nothing. And then, even though when I didn't think I could hear God, he was telling me, walk in love. Walk in love. That's all I kept hearing. Walk in love. It's hard. Look at my kids and what was taken from us, and I'm supposed to walk in love. Okay. So I did the best I could. I told him I wasn't leaving. I told him that God promised our marriage. So the only way I knew how to walk in love was just let him know that he has to be fruitful. That me and God's not going to let me and the kids do this. He's not going to let him, this drug addiction, tear us apart again. It's not going to happen. But until God releases me from that, I have to stand strong because he's weak right now. And God, and the devil's not going to take from me what he took from me last time. Not going to happen.
This time you have us to stand with you too. When I got the phone call the other day, I cried.
Because
I love you people.
I should have reached out earlier. And I didn't. Lesson learned.
See, this whole, I really do have a sermon. But God wanted to minister to him. And there's a couple other people in here too that's having a problem. And God wants this young man to know that he's loved. Not just by his wife. Not just by the father, but by the congregation, by the men. Merlin, you come up. Alan, you come up. Brett, you come up. Chris Gore, you come up. I want you guys to really love on him and minister to him right now. I'm calling these men because I know all about them, and I don't know anything about you other men in the room. And while they're doing that, you women need to cover the wife in prayer. I'm going to tell you, honey, you can go through anything. If God's told you to do that, he will see you through this. And you'll be happy going through it. You won't like what you see. But you'll be happy going. You'll be happy because God will give you happiness. He'll give you peace. And every time my grandson would come back in the house, I'd be so mad at him when he was gone. He'd come back in the house. All I could do was love him. And when he would call me, I'd still love him. I, you know, wouldn't chew him out or nothing. And God said, it's love that's going to bring him back. Love. He already knows that he's done wrong. You know, this is what God told me about my grandson. They already know that they've done wrong. They know they let people down. They don't need that rubbed in their noses rubbed in that. Right. Right, you women, go ahead and love on him. If somebody has a word for him, go ahead and give it. How many of you are glad that God does what... You can go up here and pray with her, honey, if you want. How many of you are glad that God takes over the service and does what he has to, even if it's for one soul? But I know this touched more than one person's life in here this morning. And some of you women in here, you're going through some hard times in hard knocks, and God is telling me to tell you that if you'll trust him fully and completely, he's going to bring you through it. You'll come through it in peace. You've been struggling up to this point, but he'll bring you through it in peace. Shirley, get that guy's attention behind you. Did you want to come pray with him too? You can. You know, you women are go ahead and keep ministering to her, but I'm looking at you, and every one of you have been in a bad place at one time, so you know what she's going through, and you know how to minister love to her. Just, we'll minister to the other ladies and other people in just a second. Merlin, you're supposed to be ministering to the men, so that's why I called you up here. You minister to him now. You know, the stronger you people become, the more people God's going to send into your life to minister life to. So don't think, oh, well, this was just a waste of my time. Nothing is ever a waste of your time. Every time you're in the house of God, if the Spirit of God is moving, you are receiving something that's going to benefit others. You men need to give him your phone numbers or emails or something, and he vice versa. You can keep in touch with him. I don't even know his first name. What's his first name? Rob. She just prophesied to her. Praise God. That's a miracle. Her gifting was birthed. See how it is when you give out to others. God always gives you more. You're more blessed than the person you were trying to bless. Well, not trying that you were a blessing. See, this is a sign to all you that God will perform a service for one person. If you ever knew how I labored to get this even together. I was so sleepy this morning, in wee hours of the morning, couldn't hardly stay awake. I made coffee to stay awake just to get a sermon together. I should have known God was going to do his thing. Don't you ladies leave, because we're going to minister to you in just a minute here. See, I didn't know they were going to be here this morning, but God, I missed them last Sunday, though, but God knew they were going to be here. God always knows exactly who's going to be in a service. And knows exactly what you need to hear. The ladies in this church are wonderful ladies. They really are. I'm proud of them. The men are wonderful men, too. Now, Rob, I want you to make sure that you give everybody your phone number, email, and get theirs, too, so you can keep in touch with these. Are you getting ready to do so? Oh, okay.